This week we have a special event for Sanctity of Life Sunday. Rob Marshall will be speaking a little bit on that theme, and we will also have a presentation from CareNet, from some of our members who are involved in CareNet. So, yes. For anyone who doesn't know, this is Rob.
I didn't know you were going. Hi, I'm Rob. Rob Marshall, that is. Donald Payne, you hit between the eyes of the sermon this morning. I think it was a lot easier this morning than normal. You're a lot closer, up close and personal. I said the first service I had planned on doing was a little different this morning, just not quite this different. So, we'll see how this goes. But let's pray to start. Father, we're thankful that we can come together this morning to hear your word. We ask that you would anoint this word with your spirit, Lord, to speak to our hearts, touch us and change us. Father, we're thankful for this time, and even though we've had to adjust this morning, we're thankful, Lord, that no matter where we are, when we gather together in your name, you are in our midst. And Father, we thank you for your presence among us this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that I want to do this morning, it's going to be a little bit different, is I want to look at several different sections of Scripture. Normally just look at one Scripture and spend time on that. I want to look at several different sections of Scripture. So if you want to follow along, I think there are some Bibles here if you'd like. But I'm going to be starting in Genesis, the first chapter, in verses 26 to 28. So Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And then farther in Psalm, the 8th chapter, Psalm 8, verses 1 through 9. Psalm 8, 1. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." Father, in Psalm 139, verses 1 through 18. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. And then finally, in John, the third chapter, verses 10 through 17. John 3, 10 through 17. This is where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, who came to him and asked him about getting into heaven. Jesus talked to him about having to be born again, and he was totally confused by this. Born again? What does that mean? You know, can a guy go back to my mother's womb a second time? He said, they have to be born in the Spirit. And talked about how the Spirit is like the wind. We don't know where it's coming from, we don't know where it's going, but we see it's the evidence of it being here right now. And Jesus says in verse 10, Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The word of God for the people of God. This is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And, of course, the first question I started thinking about this is, well, what does that even mean, sanctity of human life? So I looked up the definition. Simple definition. It says, sanctity is the state or quality of being holy, sacred, or saintly. But I took one look at me and I said, well, that doesn't work. You know, I think we look at ourselves, it's kind of hard to imagine that we would be sacred or holy unless the Spirit of God does that work in us. But the second part of the definition is of ultimate importance. That human life is of ultimate importance. And we have to ask the question, well, what is it that makes human life so special? You know, why is it of ultimate importance? Why do we talk about the sanctity of life? And the first thing we can think about is the fact that we were created by God. But everything was created by God. So that doesn't necessarily, in and of itself, make us special. It just makes us a creation of God. When we read the Genesis account, we recognize that God created man on the sixth day. It was the end of all the things that he created. And when you think about that, we think that part of the reason for that is that man is God's crowning glory, if you will, his final creation. The greatest and the best. And I remember some time ago I was talking with our plumber. Came out, was doing some work on the house. And I'm not even sure how we got on the subject, but he started talking about, you know, you look around the stars, you look around at all this, and just how insignificant we are. But this verse tells me something very different. We're not insignificant. We are most significant. I was trying to remember the name of the movie this morning, the one with Jodie Foster where she goes and with the telescopes and this thing from outer space and whatever. Contact. There we go. Thank you. Contact. But in that movie, she's talking with her dad, and her dad says, you know, if we're the only living things in all of this, that just seems like such a waste. Well, let's just for a moment assume we are the only living things in all of this. But let's not look at it from the standpoint of this is such a waste. But look at it from the standpoint of we are here to appreciate it. We are here to understand it, to look at it, and to be in awe of it. You know, I take my dog out at night, and she does not look up at the stars and go, wow. She doesn't even go, bow wow. She's got her nose on the ground, and, you know, she's sniffing after things, and that's how she's understanding the world. But we just look at that. She cannot appreciate it. The animals cannot appreciate it in ways that we can. And what it says to me is that when man was created on the sixth day, everything else had been created for us to appreciate, for us to see. It was a message to us about how significant we are, not insignificant. Because it's our looking at it and our appreciating it and our glorifying God because of it that gives it meaning. Otherwise, it has no meaning. If we weren't here, yeah, then it would be a waste. Well, if I wasn't here, I wouldn't care. But, you know, anyway. But God has created all of this for us so that we can appreciate it. We've been created in God's image and likeness. And you know, what does that mean? I think part of that is that we have the ability to think, to rationalize. We have the ability to imagine. We can imagine things different than they are. My dog is not going to build a house. She likes my house. That's fine for her. But she's not going to build her own house. She doesn't have that vision. She doesn't have the capability. Well, she doesn't have opposable thumbs. You're always laughing. Poor thing. She's always trying to fix her bed. You know, it's like she just wishes she had opposable thumbs. I actually saw an ad. It's an English ad. You know, what if cats had opposable thumbs? And it's an ad for milk. You see all these cats sitting out in the alley going, you know, it's a gang. Anyway, it's a milk commercial. It's pretty funny. But as human beings, we can also communicate. We can share thoughts and ideas. We can share with one another. And we have the capacity. We have the capacity for love and compassion. Nothing else has it. We have that in this physical world. Maybe even someday we'll be able to better understand just how much love God has for us. Also, one of the other things that makes human beings special, in Psalm 8 it says that God has crowned man with glory and honor. With glory and honor. Every single human being has been crowned by God with glory and honor. How do you think that would affect your relationships, your interactions with other people? If every time you met someone, you thought, this person has been crowned by God with glory and honor. And they probably don't see it right now. They probably don't get it right now. But God has crowned them with glory and honor. He's also given us dominion over the world, and he has specifically blessed mankind. There are only two things that God blessed in the creation story. One of them was man, and the other was the seventh day when he rested. We can, as we come to know Christ also, have the ability as human beings to be a temple of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can live in us. We know that the Spirit of God does not dwell in buildings made by man, especially when they're not heated. We all end up down here. But we ourselves are the temple. Where we are, that's where God is. As we gather together, God is in our midst. But I think there's something else that makes us special when I think about sanctity and that ultimate importance of human beings and their value and their worth is when I think about how I value something, one of the questions I ask myself is, what am I willing to pay for? What is it going to cost me? How much time, how much effort am I going to have to put in to have whatever this thing might be? And when I think about human beings and the price that God was willing to pay, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, because he so loved you and I, because he so loved every single human being, he gave his son. He gave the ultimate he could give. He gave all he could give. He gave himself for us. And when I think about that, I think that you have to recognize that human beings have infinite value. Because an infinite God, out of his infinite love, gave his life to us. And therefore, we have infinite value. How would that change how we interact with others if we think about the fact that Jesus Christ died for this person? Because he loved them so much, how am I supposed to treat them? How am I supposed to react to them? With all that in mind and how important, the ultimate importance of human beings and all that in this whole picture and in creation is, one of the reasons we come together and the reason we have this day as Sanctity of Human Life Sunday is because on this day, January 22nd, 1973, 39 years ago, the United States Supreme Court passed down a decision that most of us know as Roe versus Wade, which legalized abortion in the United States. Since then, tens of millions of children have died. If we think about it in it upsets me, it angers me to think about it, that abortion technically is the leading cause of death in this country. It far outpaces everything else. If you take the top two combined, abortion is still more than that. Tens of millions of lives have been lost. I have my own story as far as that goes, and I'm not going to go into great detail on it this morning other than saying that, you know, I was a teenager. Well, I still am. I'm a coward. And when my girlfriend got pregnant, I skipped. I left her alone to deal with it, and she ended up getting an abortion. Then later, as I came to know Christ, and he changed me, and I began to understand just how significant, how important we are, and all that God has given for us. It began to sadden me and even sicken me to a certain degree when I began to think about those statistics and those numbers. Because it's overwhelming when you think about it, completely overwhelming. It's saddening and it's sickening because if you talk with people that support abortion, and I've never fully, I mean, I guess I can understand it in some ways. And I'm going to partially blame Darwin for this because, I mean, the real reason is that we have an enemy. The thief who came to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's all he came to do, and that's all he's going to do, and that's what he's about in this world, and he's working through everyone in this world in order to accomplish his purpose to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I think, too, about Darwin, where basically man is just simply a complex animal. Complicated animal. We're complicated. We're hard to do. It's complicated. We're hard to deal with. But that's all man is, just a glorified animal. And some people even, I think some people even look at it as man is a scourge on this planet because of all the destruction and the things he does. I mean, it's save the whales, save the polar bears, and poor polar bears up there drowning because they can't get from one block of ice to another, whatever it might be. But at the same time, those same people are saying, but don't you touch a woman's right to make a choice. Don't you touch a woman's right to have an abortion. To me, that's just totally schizophrenic. I mean, I don't understand why their heads don't explode. Don't you see the obvious contradiction there? Don't you see the hypocrisy in wanting to save an animal? And there's nothing wrong with saving animals. I think we should. I think we should do all we can. But at the same time, well, through human life, who cares? Let's throw that away. That just doesn't make any sense to me. It drives me absolutely crazy. It angers me when I think about it. And that's partially the reason I got involved with CareNet of Midcoast Maine several years ago. Because of my own history, because of how I look at this, how this upsets me. And I recognize it's the love of God working in and through us that compels us. It gives us the compassion to care about what's going on. And there are times that almost hurts too much when we think about it. But I got involved with CareNet to at least do something, to help out in some way, to help women who are in this situation, women who've gone through the situation, to find peace and forgiveness. And what I'd like to do is we take some time now to sort of introduce the ministry of CareNet to you. If Abby could come up and just share some thoughts about why she got involved with CareNet and what it means to her. So please welcome Abby this morning.
I'm going to pretend I'm not totally nervous. I have always, I mean, as long as I can remember, always thought adoption sounded like such a special thing, something I'd love to do. And it never happened for us. I mean, we've never really pursued it, but there have been different times and situations in our life that, for Ethan and me, that, you know, we've really asked God to show us, well, I guess, how do I put it? I think we've always been willing to if it happened, but it's never been something that he's shown us. I really want you to call an adoption agency and start that process. And I don't know if he ever will or not, but there have been a few different times when, like, a cousin of mine was having a baby they didn't think she'd be able to keep, but she was. And some teenagers that I've kind of known through other people that were having babies. And some of them were born and got to stay with their mom, like my cousin's baby, which I think is probably a good thing in that situation. And probably 2 years ago, there was a friend of a friend who was young, like 15, and pregnant. And she had an abortion at, I think, 4 or 5 months, and she had twins. And it just, it was just so hard for me to fathom, just to kind of move on knowing that, like knowing the weight of, that there were these two babies that I would have done anything to take, and I know that the there are just so many people who love the Lord who would have just loved to raise those children. So it's just always been really hard for me to move on from knowing, especially specific people with specific babies, just thinking, it just breaks my heart so much. And so when this happened 2 years ago with those twins, I was talking to my best friend about it, and she was saying that, I just said, I just wish I could do it, but it doesn't seem like that's supposed to be what's happening right now. And she said, well, why don't you go to CareNet and see if they need any help? And I thought, I've never thought of doing something else. I've only ever thought of kind of the easy thing to daydream about, like, oh, I'll adopt an orphan that doesn't have anyone and love it so much, and they'll love Jesus. So so I went to CareNet and talked to the director, who I didn't know, her name is Sue, and she just told me about what they do there. And I went through a training to kind of learn about what they do and CareNet's specific, the way that they do things. And I learned a lot through the training that they care just as much about the mom, the woman who's coming in, or even the woman who's coming in for a pregnancy test and isn't pregnant, but is in a situation where she thinks she might be and is terrified. And so basically, I didn't know what I could do there. I didn't really see myself as a counselor, and she said they needed someone for the board. And I thought, board, okay, that does not sound like something I could do. But it's much less intimidating than I thought it would be. So I joined the board about a year and a half ago, and I'm so thankful for the privilege to be able to be doing something. And if this is what God has for me right now, then this is the best thing that I can be doing. You know, He doesn't want me to adopt a baby right now, and I'm having my own soon. So I guess the thing that I want to just share about CareNet is that Sue, the director, has said before that often people will ask, how many babies have you saved? You know, like a numbers, what would be the most impressive or important thing? But she really just conveyed to me that it's really about, you know, one baby or one mom who they've made a difference for Christ in their lives, or just the fact that that baby has a chance to be born and live. So I'm really impressed with how CareNet covers every area that I know of. As far as, we have a baby boutique upstairs, which is all donated, really nice baby clothes, diapers, bottles, really everything, cribs and stuff. They have parenting classes, they have post-abortion counseling, they have the free pregnancy test, which is kind of the thing everyone thinks of, and then regular counseling to go along with that. I think that might be just about all of the things they do, but they really walk through the whole process with any woman who wants them to. So I guess I just wanted to share that and encourage everyone that if you want to do something for this cause, for the babies that haven't had a chance to be born, or for the mom that is in a situation where she doesn't want to be a mom or didn't have any idea she'd maybe be a mom. If you want to do something, ask God to show you what it is, because it might be being on the board. We need some more board members, especially men. It might be something totally different, but I guess I just would love to encourage you guys to remember that it's not always the big kind of glorified thing that He's calling us to do, and that if we're just willing, then He'll do what He wants to through us, which is a great privilege, because I just don't consider myself anything special to be used of Him, but He does, and so I'm thankful for that. Should I share about the baby bottles, or
we'll talk about that? So.
Okay, so that's it. Thank you.
I'm going to show you a quick, short video. Amen. So it was just sort of a brief introduction of the ministry. I mean, you probably recognize some of the people in there. Besides being on the board, one of the things that I do may or may not come as a surprise to you, but I emcee the banquet. This year, I actually had the privilege of emceeing not only the banquet here in November for CareNet in Midco, Spain, which is in Brunswick, but also for the Rockland CareNet. And it was an interesting thing because I used to have sort of this attitude of when it comes to abortion in America, it was like, I'll give you rape and incest. Because that makes up such a small percentage of the abortions that happen in this country that, you know, we would still be saving hundreds of thousands of lives every year if we just did that. But at both banquets this year, it was interesting because both of the women who spoke were born as a product of rape. And it completely changed the way I looked at it. It's just like, you know, and we have to recognize, when we talk about the sanctity of human life, that every life is precious. Jesus died for everyone, and therefore everyone has infinite value. And we have to speak up. But one of the things I did is I shared this little message at the CareNet banquet in November. But it's a group participation here at the beginning, so I'm going to need your help. Are we ready? Wake up. And what I need from you guys, it goes like this. It goes, ya-da-da-da-da. Can you do that? Ya-da-da-da-da. Let's show it one more time. Ya-da-da-da-da. And here's how it goes. All you need is love. Ya-da-da-da-da. All you need is love. Ya-da-da-da-da. All you need is love. Love. Love is all you need. I don't know. It's not my song. I don't know if love is all we need, but I certainly think it's an important thing. And one of the things that I recognize is, and I believe we are in the last days, and one of the things that we see happening around us is as Jesus foretold. He said that because lawlessness, sinfulness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And when he talks about that, he's talking about the agape kind of love, not the, you know, the pitter-patter of my heart when he enters the room kind of a thing. But that love that we have that reaches out and puts our interests below the interests of another. So that other person and their well-being is what is important to us, and we're willing to reach out in love to that person. And it's a love that isn't always logical. There are times it just doesn't make sense to us. It isn't an emotional kind of a thing in the sense that it doesn't always feel good. But it's practical because it puts the needs and the problems and the issues and the concerns of another person above our own. And because of that, it's the kind of love that God talks about in John 3:16, as we read this morning. For God so loved, agape, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. A love that is concerned first and foremost, not with itself, but with the interests of others. To me, abortion is sort of the ultimate expression, if you will, of a love grown cold. It's about self-love. It's about a person putting their concerns, their fears, even their comfort, and to realize that there are a lot of reasons why women end up in that position. And most of them, I think, probably approach it as this is my only choice. This is the only, which is kind of funny they call it pro-choice, because for most people it feels like it's the only choice. We're really pro-choice. We'll give you all the choices you want. There's adoption, there's raising the babies, whatever you want, we'll give you choices. Because that's not your only choice. It's not the only thing you can do. And if it's something that if you do do, you'll spend the rest of your life paying a very high cost. And the guilt and regret and the sense of loss that you will experience because of a decision you're making right now. In the middle of a difficult situation, I understand that. But we want to be able to reach out to those women with God's love and let them know, and not just say God loves you, but show it in practical ways that lets them know that we will be with them, stand with them, counsel them, console them, and help them throughout this time. But the other thing that CareNet does, as Abby mentioned, is it's not just for women thinking about an abortion, but it's also for women who've been through that. And letting them know that God loves them, helping them find the love, the mercy, and the forgiveness of God. You know, I certainly need to agree in some sense with the Beatles that today one of the things we definitely do need is more love. Because when we look at it and we look at how the world is going, one thing that I know is Jesus said should be a hallmark, an earmark, a sign, a characteristic of us as Christians. is that people would know we're his disciples. Why? Because we love. And love is messy. Love is a challenge. Love isn't always the easiest thing to do. And in the world that we live in, we are constantly being bombarded by all this garbage. The lawlessness, the sinfulness, the selfishness around us, it influences our lives. One of my favorite speakers talks about influence. His name is Jim Rohn, and he says there are two parts to influence. First, influence is powerful, and second, influence is subtle. You wouldn't let someone push you off course, but you might let someone nudge you off course and not even realize it. As we are constantly being bombarded by all that is in the world, it is so easy for our love to grow cold, to draw back, to become more focused on ourselves, our issues, and our problems, that we miss the needs around us. What we need to do is react differently to that and not just let the pressures and the things that we see in the world around us influence us and change us in a way that is not going to bring glory to God and is not going to allow the love of God to flow through our lives. Sometime back, I saw a video about Daniel Pink's new book called Drive, The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us. And in that book, he talks about two questions he asked people to ask themselves. The first question is, what's your sentence? And it's to me, that's sort of a life question. It's, you know, how do I want my life to be? What do I want people to say about my life at the end of my life? What do I want my legacy to be? What's my sentence? It shouldn't be some big, long, 50-page treatise on what I think I should accomplish, but a simple thing that I can grab a hold of, a mission statement, if you will, that says, this is what I want my life to be about. And then he asks the second question. I think, to me, the second question is more of a compelling question, because it's a question I ask myself at the end of every day. And the question is this: was I better today than yesterday? Was I better today than yesterday? And when it comes to the love of God in a world that is lawless and sinful and weighing us down, the question we need to ask ourselves at the end of the day was I a better example? Was I a better conduit of the love of God today than I was yesterday? And it doesn't have to even be by a lot. We just improved a little bit, day by day. And we have to be careful here, because it's not about adding a bunch of rules and regulations to our lives. You know, well, now if I'm going to show love, I got to do these things and all this kind of stuff. That's not what it's about. In John the 15th chapter, Jesus talks about the branches and the vine. That the branches will bear fruit if they are attached to the vine. It is a natural thing for us, if we are in Christ, to be attached to that vine to bring forth that fruit. But what the husbandman, the father, has to do is he has to prune the branches so they'll bear more fruit. It's most times, I think, it's about taking things away from our lives rather than adding things to our lives. We keep adding more stuff on. We keep adding more rules, more regulations. And that's not what it's about. What it's about is God pruning us and changing us and taking away all the things that get in the way of what he wants to accomplish through our lives. I think that maybe our prayer should be, God, prune away my anger and let your forgiveness and grace flow through me. God, prune away my fears and fill me with your hope and faith. God, prune away my indifference and fill me with your compassion and love. The verse that was part of the theme of the banquet this year was 1 Corinthians 13:13, which talks about, now abides faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. With all that we face, with all that we do, with all we can accomplish in our lives, one of the things we have to recognize is everything we do in this world, everything we have in this world, is temporary. The only things that really remain are faith, hope, and love. Those are the things that are permanent in our lives, and those are the things that God wants to work into our lives, and the greatest of those is love. And again, I don't know, all you need is love, whether or not the Beatles had that one right, at least in that form. I'm not sure what they meant by it. But one of the things that I know is that even if all we need isn't just love, we certainly need an awful lot of it. And we could pray and seek God and ask God to go work through our lives to be an expression of his love in this world more and more every day. Was I better today than yesterday? Amen?